Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Texas says want to give Process his ball sack back since he lost them all after he went to the flagship.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I think our guy Pete Butek gave a hot take there. Texas says, dead air, good job, Crean. Texas says, getting to the bowl to a bowl game is a bare minimum for U of L. Texter 356, Pete Futek said the meat in the middle there is a big problem. Texter, the divine discontent moment of the century occurred when Round Daddy's girlfriend suddenly recognized at the end of a two-week break she wasn't doing any better. Hashtag BBN blue vapor.
What a haymaker.
Oh, Texter says, is Jordan Ward better than Devin Booker if he gets his first title? Yeah, oh, of course he is. Of course he is. Let's see. Texter says, Mangus got all your listeners. Isn't Mangus off today? I think he is.
Yeah, it is Pat and Luke today.
Oh, I haven't seen Luke. When did he get here?
I don't know. I think he snuck in through the front. I'll mark that.
Texas says, I can see Stoops being a dumpy painter. What do we do with, okay, so what are we going to do with all this sound here? Because I don't know how much we were able to cut. Do we get any of the painter stuff? Is that, where are we, I don't know what you have painter-wise. It was a big deal that Mark Stoops was a painter today.
Mark's a fan of country music and a friend of Toby Keith, and he and I share an early foundational element of our careers, which is house painting. He, during his high school time, me early in college, and then I was motivated to perform well academically. University of Kentucky head football coach Mark Stoops.
He's been asked about it like three times. Mark, how do we get almost a decade into this relationship
and
with
not
Mark
know
Stoops,
that.
And somehow Greg Sankey of all people is having to break down that one of the special talents that Mark Stoops has is a painter, and I think he looks like a painter. Now a rich one, though, because he makes so much money with football. Oh goodness, Texas says Ennis is probably somewhere tweeting about vaccines. Texas says Stoops was boring. Texas says Stoops now sounds like Bobby Petrino. I absolutely agree with that. Absolutely. That's what I was thinking when he was like, he had a moment. Did Stoops, we went, and he did that, and it had like that twang, that moan, whatever it is. Now, Bobby Petrino, that's exactly what it was. Texas says, Andy, you needed to be quiet and listen to the best coach in the state. Texas says, Andy, if you were trying to be funny or cute playing Stoops, it ain't working. Thank you. Thank you. Texas says, I pulled my car into oncoming traffic if you continue to play buttermilk. Texas says you guys are cutting out a bit. Hey, that's not, I'm in studio. So if it's cutting out, that's something completely else. Has nothing to do with me. What did you make? What did you, not going to read that one. What did you make, Grossman? It's being cut for us. But Pete Fucek was like, oh yeah, make a bowl game.
And that is way off
Louisville,
without,
for Louisville. Yeah, yeah.
What we hear from the Louisville people at the station and what we see on Twitter.
This is going to be nauseating. And as soon as I feel like, you know, everyone's vacation mode. Thank you for the snort right into the microphone there. Clearing your nose into the mic. I saw the mucus go back up your nose. That's what happened to me at 4:06 today while on the radio. Anyway, boy, Lane's looking good up there. Lane Kiffin talking at SEC right now. In fact, you may just have to thank you. Now he's blowing his nose. Grossman's struggling right now. You may have to pot Lane up just randomly. Not right now. Just randomly if I start going. But we're going to have the sound here in just a second. Pretty much Pete Fucek was like, just make a bowl. And when we get out of July and maybe even the first week, is your nose bleeding, by the way? Are you sure you're getting everything out of it? Maybe the second week?
It's weird. It's just all of a sudden stuffy out of nowhere. I mark that also.
I don't know. You don't have to mark that. Texas says, I was waiting for Stoops to talk about sewing hair into hair. Texas says, does Stoops know you can sew hair into hair? It's a great question. Anyway, just make a bowl. I feel like when we get to August, maybe middle of August, and all these prediction items start to come out, that's not going to be nearly enough, right? And then today, Cam Teague, who I respect his opinion a great deal on Louisville football, Cam Teague, and I'm paraphrasing here, told Greer, he's like, you know, if they don't get better play from Malik, that, you know, they're going to be a fringe bowl team. And boy, I know the over under. Let me go to what I do know. The over under is what, 6.5, and it may have moved up for UofL. How do Louisville fans take with someone nationally is saying, hey, you're a 6-win team. You just need to be a 6-win team and do a slow build for when this thing goes to 12 teams. I don't think there's many Louisville fans, and I sure as hell know in this building, there's no Louisville fans that feel that way. Yes? I don't think there's any. I don't think there's anyone right now.
And the drafting's over under is 6.5.
That we would sit there at 6 wins, right? I mean, that hasn't been a discussion at all. Now, I will say, and this is, I guess, what I ultimately was trying to get to, that at some point here, we will have to come up with a reality situation for the local teams, okay? And Grossman, you're going to have to help me with Indiana because, I'm being told Indiana's like 9. Okay, well, I'm being told they're not going to, you know, get blown out by some teams or lose to some team they shouldn't lose to or whatever it may be, okay? But, I mean, if you're talking Louisville beating 6-6, you're talking the losses to Kentucky. You're talking about Clemson, NC State. You're talking about UCF, Florida State. Ole Miss. I mean, that's your season right there.
I think the question is, when Satterfield took over the job, it was viewed as a massive rebuild. It was. But if Satterfield didn't have the instant success he had year one, do you think that Louisville fans would be in the spot that they're in right now?
No. Listen.
Is Satterfield a victim of his early success?
He used his grace year last year. That's it. He used, and Kentucky's telling you the same thing. Last year wasn't great, and so now we're going to talk about Atlanta and all those things. Great. It makes it easy to analyze Kentucky. And by the way, a guy who I absolutely respect, Cole Kublik, who is very high on Kentucky, more than not, has Kentucky second in the SEC East. I mean, he's got him either. I mean, he's got him with a better record than Florida. Whether they beat Florida or not, he's got him with a better record. They're above Florida. This is not a tie. He's got Florida third. He's got Kentucky second. Okay, it is clear cut the way we are going to analyze Kentucky football this year. I did that in hour number one, and I can do it again in the 5 o'clock hour because we have John Hale coming up. I don't feel that way for Louisville at all. 6-6 would mean Ole Miss, UCF, Florida State, NC State, Clemson. Let me give you Kentucky. Let me give you those. I mean, okay, maybe I give you a Kentucky win, you can say, well, Kentucky was, you know, top 25 team. You won on the road at Wake Forest. Maybe a couple of the losses were close, right? You keep it close week one against Ole Miss. I know there's nuance there. But I guess that's what I'm saying. I don't think there is going to be. I think you did it again. You did it again.
Did I
can hear you breathing when you have the. Okay, let's stop everything. You can't have the mic on. There, that's the rule. You can't because it's annoying me. Okay.
I do have a question for you.
Well, hang on. Well, give me your question then. Go ahead.
All right. If you're Louisville. And you're a Louisville fan. Do you feel better about the season if they go 6-6 and beat Kentucky or 7-5 and lose to Kentucky?
Well, who's my other win? Do I pick up a win like at Florida State?
Like a Florida State or a Wake Forest type of deal.
Well, I mean,
I'm not adding Clemson as the other one.
I mean, I would go 7-5. Honestly, I would go 7-5 if it meant that there was if it added a win of value. Does that make sense? Like, Wake Forest to me doesn't do it for me, okay? But if Florida State, they've recruited well in the last year or two, maybe they figure something out and they take a giant leap up. Listen, some people think they're second. In the division. Some people think they're sixth or fifth in the division. So there's not, I mean, listen, outside of, what would you say, Clemson and NC State, North Carolina on the other side, probably a little bit Miami with Derek King back, right, if he's healthy and ready to go. Although, come on, I mean, Miami's an 8-4 type team to me.
It's Clemson, then Big Gap, then Carolina, then Gap, then Miami,
then everyone. We already know the beginnings, I guess. It's kind of knowing the next level, and that next level down is kind of all over the place. Let's play that real quick, if you don't mind. This is almost like Paul Feinbaum. It's not Paul Feinbaum. This is Pete Futek on U of L this season.
Basically win the 50-50 games. You're not going to win the ACC championship if you're Louisville. There's Clemson, there's North Carolina, and on the bottom end, let's say there's Duke and Georgia Tech, and then everyone else is basically 6-6. So if you're Louisville, just, again, you're not going to win the ACC championship. So just get bowling, hope for a winning season, win enough, look good, look the part, and do enough just to get 6-6, 7-5, and a winning season's a plus. Until we get to that 12-team playoff, when you really do, like, that was, listen, to go back real quick, the fun of a 12-team playoff is last year, Northwestern's playing for a shot to get in the college football playoff. Iowa State is playing for a chance to get in the college football playoff. Indiana would have been in.
Cincinnati,
So we're not there yet. So if you're at Louisville, until we get to what you're trying to do is just keep moving forward, keep improving, keep getting better, and then in 2 years we do get that 12-team playoff most likely, then that's your goal. Then your goal is to be that team that Kentucky is saying, be the third or fourth best team in the SEC. Be the, the third best team in the ACC, and then you got a shot at real fun.
What I would ask then is that more is that more realistic? Is that living in the real world with Louisville football? That's what I would ask.
I would argue it is.
Okay, well, I would argue it is too. Is that realistic when I tell you be 6, and now he says 6-6 or 7-5. And there's a big difference when people say 8-9. I mean, there's a big difference there. That's what Kentucky fans always say. You never won 9 games with Lamar Jackson. Isn't that, or never won 10 games? Whatever. I should know that. I apologize. Whatever.
They never won 10.
Yeah. I mean, with Lamar Jackson, there's always something that's out there. Hey, Terry Wilson won 10 games, whatever it may be on the Kentucky side. I think that's closer to reality, but I don't know how Louisville fans I'm having a, because, you know, Strebel sits across from me. You know what he thinks, okay? And Mitch was in a different world the other way, that he thought everyone that Satterfield brought in was great. So I had Round Daddy, who hated him, and the other guy thought he was doing a great job. And I think Louisville fans are very in the middle. But I don't know if you give them 6-6, and I know I'm doing record talk. I understand it's pukey. I get it on a Tuesday afternoon. But if I give you 6-6, okay, with the caveat that you can sell that there is positivity there, okay, that there's so much youth on the team that wait until these guys have another year, that next year and the year after, Louisville, where you can sell that there is a systematic build going on. Can you sell that if you're 6-6? Personally, I don't think you can. I think you can to some, but I do not think the majority will buy into that. And the reason I would say that, it's because if you're 6-6, your quarterback play isn't probably very good. It's probably very average. And if it's very average, you have Scott Satterfield going into year 4 with having some misses at the recruiting, the quarterback position, and it would mean either everyone around Cunningham that there is a big drop-off before, you know, with some of the Bobby guys, Tutu Atwell, Dez Fitzpatrick, Javian Hawkins. Well, I mean, I give Satterfield credit on him. You understand what I'm saying. Especially a wide receiver, that some of that wasn't good around him, right? Like, I don't know. You could sell 6 and maybe a win against Kentucky and then go to a bowl game. What Pete said is the magic trick around here. You win 7 games, you go 7-5, you win that 8th game in the bowl game, you get to say it's an 8-win season. If you're Louisville, it's a 6-6. Maybe you beat Kentucky. I don't think that's going to happen. You win that 7th game, suddenly it's like, okay, we were 4 wins, now we're 7 wins, and you know, maybe Cunningham has a big game in the bowl game. You're like, okay, you're going to get one more year where he's going to be, you would hope, playing at a higher level. But if you're 6-6, to me, it's telling me that I need to be more worried. That's how I would perceive it with the quarterback position. And you know what I think about Kentucky. Kentucky's made this easy. If they stink, they're going to get crushed, and they deserve it.
I think you could sell 6-6 as, you know, not being an overwhelmingly great season, but that you're quote-unquote moving in the right direction. And I think you go back from the standpoint of, that would mean in 2 out of the first 3 years of Satterfield, you'd have a bowl game. I get it. That would be the sell job,
yeah.
Which, that's not the goal, obviously, for Louisville every year, but when it's as big of a rebuild as we thought, no one thought he would go to 2 bowl games in his first 3 years if he does make a bowl game this year. Right, I don't think anyone
yeah, maybe
realistically thought, I mean, like, people thought they were going 2-10 his first year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, from this, and you don't just go straight from 2-10 to like 6-6, 7-5 most of the time. So I mean, yeah, you know, I think if you do make a bowl game, you do go 6-6, you're not, you know, celebrating but and they
did
going
go
nuts.
But they did go 2 wins to 8 wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you. I think he got a lot of credit for it.
Yeah.
I mean, Scott Satterfield was seen as one of the hottest candidates, so much that you had the South Carolina nonsense.
Yeah, even after the bad year he had last year.
He got rewarded. There's no doubt about it. He has been rewarded. Now, he probably, you know, wants a little bit more of a deal after this year. I don't know. That's something the Louisville fan base is going to have to try to figure out.
I think, though, you could sell it as, look, bowl games in 2 out of the first 3 years, you have building blocks. You have things to build around. Yes, the quarterback thing is something that you need to figure out how to solve. But
yeah, but that's a big deal.
I think there's enough positives to where I think that they could sell it if they go 6-6.
I don't see that, and that's what I would imagine we're going to disagree with on that. That's going to be like Anson Strebel used to always argue about Terry Wilson.
I guess
how that's going to be if Louisville goes 6-6.
I'm not giving it
be good quarterback play. That's just me.
I'm not giving it like an A plus or anything.
Right, I understand,
but I would give it a passing grade. I would give it like maybe B minus.
Yeah, and Louisville has to win games at the ACC. you're going to have to be able to win games because there are some special players. And it's much easier. I mean, look at LSU. Look at Ole Miss right now. The only reason people think that it's the quarterback is the only reason that people think, you know, if you think that Ole Miss is going to be worth anything, if they blast Louisville, sure, whatever.
So. Oh,
is that Lane?
Mind-blowing. Well, Ely's fine. He's been working out with the team, and we're excited to have a fall with him. Where, you know, now
all right, there we
know
go, because we have no idea who he's talking about. Texas says, is CNN Ennis champion for equality? Appalled that Bezos' spaceship is shaped like a giant you-know-what. What do you think about that? So did Bezos yes. just went? So Bezos just went into space. That's it, and came back down. Like he didn't spend much time up there. Like he didn't do anything.
I think he didn't go to the
moon or anything. Like he just went into what is technically space, right? And that's it. And then they turned around and came back home and landed in Texas again. What are we doing with that? I don't know. You tell me. What are we doing with that? Texas says year three of Satterfield. You guys are talking 6-6. Texas are 6-6 in the garbage. ACC, LOL.
Yeah, I mean, Stoops didn't make a bowl game until what, year four?
Texas says, I think if you flip the first two seasons, this team would be getting hyped up a lot more. I don't disagree with
that. That's also true.
I don't disagree with that. Texas says, Crane hasn't turned his mic off for 1 second after you told him to. It just when it's on and you're talking, it's like you can hear another mic open and you can just hear every little noise that is
especially
in that room.
Especially with this crappy mic.
Yeah, especially with that crappy mic. Exactly. It doesn't help things. Texas says 6-6 to win over Kentucky. Absolutely, because I think Louisville's probably closer to 4-8. Texas says this is real. Louisville is a football school. That is why he said Kentucky is not a football school. Stay in your lane, BBN. I don't know. Who's winning that debate? I don't think anyone is winning that debate. Let's see here. 437-9680 is the UPS jobs text line. You know what we never got to yet today? And I'm very angry we didn't get to it right there at 4 o'clock. We haven't got to the chili controversy. It's not one that I'm particularly interested in, other than butthurt Cincinnati Reds fans. We don't have to do that right now. We can go ahead and we get John Hale up there. Lane Kiffin's finishing up right now. 4-3.
The next step for him this season. And then is your dad going to be an analyst again? And if so,
what? Ooh, I kind of want to hear the answer to this. And this is Monty Kiffin.
How's your dad
doing? Didn't you say Matt? Yeah. We expect Matt to play better, be more consistent.
All right, there we go. Yeah, we don't want real analysis, whoever Matt is. I would imagine he's talking about his quarterback.
Yeah, that would be the stud quarterback, Matt Corral.
There you go. Is it Corral? It's
one
Corral.
Of the two.
He's a beast, though. He's an NFL player. Let's take a break. 437-9680, John Hale joins us next.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
I've been pressed into servant leadership. Justine Sowery and Chris Mack both live in the same neighborhood, and I've had to deliver toilet paper to Justine and cut Chris's grass while he was out of town, so I'm doing my part.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I love going back in the Wayback Machine. I do like that. A little Vince Tyree on a Tuesday. VT was out there with Double D and Blankenbaker and everyone at the charity softball game last night. Dieter had to love that attention. He acted like he didn't, but he loved that attention. He absolutely did. Plus, he looked jacked. I mean, the shirt he had on, it was like stretched. You saw that, didn't you, Jack? The shirt was stretched. That's how big his muscles were. I mean, yeah, that's one of those things, Jack, where, man,
that would look absolutely atrocious on me. But for Diener, it works beautifully.
Oh, you think? Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing with U2's bodies that's the same, other than their bodies. He's tan. You're not. Well, you're not tan. You get red like a lobster, like me. It's the way that it is. Hey, Royals Hot Chicken, guys, listen up. This is coming up tomorrow, Wednesday, July 21st. Wednesday, July 21st, Royals Hot Chicken on Taylorsville Road in J-Town. The J-Town location only is giving away free chicken sandwiches. Again, that's the Taylorsville Road, J-Town location of Royals Hot Chicken tomorrow. Wednesday, July 21st, get yours in one of four Nashville-style heat levels, or you can try the classic fried. No purchase is necessary. Stop on by 10305 Taylorsville Road there in J-Town. Pick one up, tomorrow. Pick one up tomorrow. It's one day only, and only at their J-Town location. Limit one free sandwich per guest while supplies last. Again, that's Taylorsville Road, the Royals Hot Chicken, free sandwiches tomorrow. That is a great, great deal. I know the guys are jacked up to take part of that. All right, well, let's get John Hale from the CJ. I'm sure he's jacked up to be down there at SEC Media Days. John, good afternoon, sir.
How are you?
Well, I'm good. How's the setup there? I mean, there's not as many fans and not as many media at the SEC this year. Is that true?
Yeah, I think they limited it to one person per outlet, although some of the people I've seen around, I'm not sure how strictly that was enforced, but there are certainly fewer reporters than normal, and there are no fans at all.
Oh, normally, that's what I thought.
The scene is, a lot of fans right here in the lobby of the Winfrey Hotel, just kind of sitting around waiting for Nick Saban to walk in and out. Alabama's not going today, so maybe they were at least outside the building, which is what I was told they could do beforehand. I haven't even seen anybody outside.
So, oh, wow.
That's certainly different. Maybe that's just a product of the teams going today, but
when's Saban? Is Saban tomorrow or is he Thursday?
Yeah, he's tomorrow.
Okay.
Going up against Vanderbilt, there's, they always.
No, yeah, yeah. Well, it is what it is. No, Saban tomorrow. I will be shocked if Saban is like, there's not people lined up to try to take a glimpse in to see His Holiness walk by. I'll be stunned, John. Absolutely stunned.
Yeah, I imagine that being in Alabama, there will be some people who find their way to the parking lot or the little roundabout in the front where they drop the players and coaches off. So I'm sure they'll find.
Oh goodness, when are they moving the SEC Media Days? Is it in Nashville next year? When are they parading that baby around? I can't remember.
I don't remember the specific schedule. They are rotating it, so it was obviously canceled last year. But the last year they had it in 2019, it was in Atlanta, which was weird altogether, just, having it different places. I do think Nashville's on the list. I think getting back to Atlanta at some point, this event is, I don't know if it's ever very useful, but it just seems such a part of the hotel here in Hoover. It just seems connected. So anytime it's somewhere else, it seems strange.
It's done.
They're at least experimenting.
It's dust. Look what they did with the ACC tournament on the basketball side. Look what they did with the NFL draft. I mean, I'm a New York Giants fan, John, but I love to see Eagles, Giants, and Jets fans boo every pick. That's what I love. And now, now they've pimped it out everywhere else. So get used to it. You're gonna be flying all around the country for this, or the South, I guess I should say. It'll be in Florida at some point.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I have actually never been to SEC Basketball Media Days just because the timing never quite works out. And they keep trying to schedule that in places where they can get anybody to show up. So it seems like the exact opposite.
Just well, they don't give any access. John Calipari doesn't even do a podium. He sits down at a table and, sports writers crawl all over him. That's what they do. It's not worth going to.
and it's usually a day or two after he does his local media day, and like yeah. where we've always just talked to him. So it's a pretty useless event. So
I
would spend more time if I was the league trying to figure out how to fix that than mess up football media day.
I agree with you. John Hale with us from the CJ at John Hale underscore CJ if you want to follow him there. Okay, so quarterback talk, injury talk with Upshaw, which is a big injury for Kentucky. Mark Stoops is very forceful in keeping it to 8 games there in SEC play. I guess you've been listening to players. I mean, Darian Kennard, I guess, you know, hey, see you in Atlanta. What have been the takeaways from the afternoon session there with Kentucky at SEC Media Days?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just the news. You know, it's the one thing that's probably useful to spend every year is it's just the way it works is we haven't talked to Mark in a while because he's been on vacation and all the things during the summer. So there's always some news. And today, the Keaton Upshaw thing came out this morning before mm-hmm. he talked. And, you know, he made a joke about it's hard to keep anything under wraps these days. But he confirmed it's a significant injury. He didn't say what exactly the injury was, but he said it's something that normally keeps you out for an entire season. They just have to confirm it at this point with their doctors and, you know, subsequent testing. That's a huge loss for them, even though he's not been, you know, super productive by any means, just because nobody in their passing game has. But he's probably one of their most talented receiving options, and with all the questions at wide receiver, one of the ways that you could, you know, justify getting around that is say, well, it didn't really matter if they have a bunch of good wide receivers because they're going to play multiple tight end sets all the time out there to get Upshaw and Rigg on the field at the same time. Well, obviously that's not going to happen now, so that's a huge deal. We got an update on J.J. Weaver that he's ahead of schedule from his rehab, but they're still, you know, going to be conservative with pushing him back. That was good news. Dan Berezowitz, the chief of staff, who was arrested at the end of June on assault charge for an incident, an altercation with his wife, is suspended right now. That was a little bit of news today. And then, obviously, you know, Mark in the bigger room gets all of those big picture SEC questions, and the schedule thing came up, and he was tried to make a quippy soundbite with his comment about, you know, did anybody watch last season? A lot of teams struggled in terms of a justification for not expanding the schedule. I don't know that came off exactly like he wanted it to. But it's not exactly a secret that Kentucky football does not want to play more SEC games.
Well, let's hear. Let me pause you for a second. It's a short clip, but I agree. I thought it was a pretty good one. John Hale with us, but this is, a couple hours ago now in the big room, Mark Stoops on wanting to stay at 8 SEC games, not going to 9.
I wondered if people watched last year. You know, the league, there was quite a few people that struggled. If anybody took notice of that. So that's how I feel.
Yeah, I thought that was probably the sound clip of his entire 15, 20 minutes up there, John.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it wasn't breaking news by any means, but certainly he made it, summed up his thoughts up pretty well there. And it's an interesting dilemma because, you know, we've seen in this league, this conversation's happened a bunch over the last few years. I think they were probably in some, from what we understand, some deep discussions about changing the schedule format before last summer, and then COVID just messed everything up and kind of put those talks on hold. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly they get back to that. But coaches like Nick Saban and, you know, the bigger football powers in the league have at least been open to expanding the conference because, you know, what are they going to get out of playing another 1AA team or whatever? But a program like Kentucky and Mark Stoops, it just no real benefit at this point if you're trying to make sure you get to that 6-win plateau every year, you get that bowl momentum, hopefully every 2 or 3 years contend for a, you know, double-digit win kind of season like they had in 2018. You need those 4 non-conference games.
Absolutely.
To, you know, get healthy, to build some momentum. We saw how big effect it was on them last year. It just the perception of the season. I mean, they had a losing record overall because they played an SEC-only schedule. If they had played the exact same SEC record and added their 4 non-conference wins that we assume they would have gotten, it's not a safe assumption with Kentucky football, but let's just say it played out that way. The way people, I mean, they would have been, you know, talking about building a statue of Mark Stoops with another 8-win season instead of talking about, are you going to fire your offensive coordinator? Are you going to make major changes like the conversation ended up being?
John Hale with us. I'll ask this as a follow-up, but I probably need to give a little bit of a breakdown on what I talked about earlier in the show. I agree with you, yet I sense that there is confidence, damn right, cockiness from some. And I don't just mean players or big dog, but I find around here Kentucky football doesn't have a noticeable pivot if they don't live up to expectations. I mean, I think they need to be an 8-4 football team with the way they've talked this offseason. Do you agree that you sense that cocky attitude from them?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely confident. And you mentioned earlier, Darian Kennard, when he got up to the podium, the moderator said, you know, just give an opening statement about what you're looking forward to this season. And he said, well, honestly, I'm looking forward to Atlanta, to be honest with you.
It's unbelievable.
We've heard Kentucky players say stuff similar to that in the past. But, I mean, Kennard's a guy who can, you know, back up that with his play. He's, you know, one of the best offensive linemen in the country, let alone the SEC. So he's you know, has reason to be confident, but it's clear that in that building, for whatever reason, they feel good about what's going on. I think it was interesting. I was, you know, pleasantly surprised today that the narrative was not Kentucky not getting enough respect, because that seems what it is every year here. They come and talk about how, you know,
that's a good point.
Respect outside of line. There wasn't any of that talk today. There was just none of it. And I was prepared to kind of rebut some of that, because, you know, when you look at it from the outside, you're coming off a losing record. We know the circumstances in terms of the All-SEC schedule.
Quarterback.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
You lost two early-round NFL draft picks you have to replace. You've had three significant injuries to guys who might have started since spring practice that are probably going to keep them out for the entire season. There are plenty of reasons to doubt that this, you know, is going to be a special kind of year this year. But then, knowing what we know, covering the program every day, watching it very closely, the schedule is as favorable as you're ever going to get. We know that they have recruited at a level to where there are guys now to fill in those holes of the players that left. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be, but there's a decent argument to be made that any of the three options in a new offensive scheme, if it lives up to the hype, are probably better options than what they've had last year, especially once Terry Wilson, let's say Terry Wilson post-injury.
Sure, yeah.
So there's plenty of reasons to be optimistic, and it's clear over there that they are, that they feel really good about where they're at as a program and how those questions that are legitimate questions are going to ultimately be answered. But until we see them do that, you know, I think there's probably reason to approach it with at least a healthy dose of skepticism. But to answer your original question, I 100% agree that, you know, I think 7 wins is the bare minimum, but I think 8 wins mm-hmm. is realistically what you're shooting for with that schedule.
I agree.
With the hope that if you find a quarterback and fill in some of those other holes, that you could have a 2018 kind of season. And, you know, nobody thinks they're going to challenge Georgia for the East, but, you know, into late October, at least still be in the conversation.
Cole Kublik, he picked him second. He picked him second. He put that on Twitter like, I don't know, like 30 minutes ago, Jack, something like that. He put that on Twitter. So, and he likes Kentucky. Now, he's high on Mark Stoops, obviously, but he has them second in the SEC. I'm with you. There are a few people who are like Atlanta, and they're ridiculous. yeah, to move them aside. But there is some of that. I said earlier, and John Hale with us from the CJ, I said earlier, John, that this year I can make the argument that the QB position is not an excuse. Joey Gatewood has been there, right? Bo Allen has been there, and they've been there since the beginning of Liam Cohen. We have seen offenses, you know, smart offensive guys take a bad offense and make it much better. And so I think that is something that the Kentucky fans will rely on. And you bring in these grad transfers or just a transfer market guy, you're expecting them to play, right? And so Will Levis being brought in, he's not a guy where I'm like, okay, he's going to sit for a year. Right? Or to week 9 before you can throw him in. I don't want to hear it from the quarterback position. They have a new offense. They have Liam Cohen. They've changed that staff. And they have a highly recruited Bo Allen. They have Joey Gatewood, who was a 4- or 5-star kid, went to Auburn. And they bring in Will Levis, who, you know, obviously has had some hype this offseason. They need to get something done at that position.
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree. I mean, I still think Will Levis is going to ultimately win the job. Just, you know, that's my read on the situation. But Mark did say some really positive things about Joey Gatewood today. That's probably as definitive as we've heard him yet about the kind of spring that Gatewood had, which, you know, we had heard good things, but he, you know, specifically said that he was really good in the spring with his arm strength and getting the ball down the field, which is such a problem that they've had over the last, you know, several years of the offense. So I think it's going to be a legitimate competition. But you hope, and everything we've heard, if they're going to back up this confidence that we're talking about, is they have multiple talented players to compete for that spot, whereas it's not the situation the last decade where whoever ended up winning the job just won it by default almost. I mean, There's no excuse with Drew Barker anymore in terms of his career getting derailed by injury or Terry Wilson never making that next step after he got hurt. These are all guys who are healthy. They were all highly touted recruits. They all have some experience at this point. With the new offense is what they say it's going to be, you know, somebody should be able to win that job and make a, you know, competent passing attack.
Do you think, and John Hale with us, do you think they'll get voted, I don't know, where in the SEC? Third, fourth, fifth? Do you think they'll be above Missouri, below Missouri? Do you have any read from all the gas bags that are down there in Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell just because nobody my default is always lower.
Fifth.
Expect the lower. I think fourth is probably where they end up just because, you know, there's always somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, basically, you know, what I was confident about in terms of who the buzzworthy teams, and positive and negative. And the one thing in the West, I feel pretty good about Texas A&M being legitimate in their early buzz. And the other part on the other side is I feel pretty good about whoever the media picks this week as the buzzy SEC East team to emerge third in that pack will not be very good. And so it just
there you go.
Like
okay.
Every year. And so it feels like Missouri's that team now. You know, I did an interview earlier with a radio station in Memphis, and they were asking me about Missouri, Kentucky. And I was like, I don't know why Missouri's getting this buzz, but it seems like that's the team that people have picked to be the third team to emerge from the East. So I feel like they'll probably get voted third. And because of all those questions we mentioned earlier about Kentucky, from the outside looking in, if you haven't studied their roster, if you don't know what they have on hand to replace it, you just look at it and say, losing record, no quarterback, lost two first and second round draft picks. Of course, Kentucky's going to, you know, be bottom half the SEC East, so that's what I assume the voting will play out this week.
All right, John Hale with us from the CJ. Quickly, just to throw a curveball on the basketball side, I know you're football. How am I supposed to talk about Jalen Duren? What are we supposed to say about him? I forgot about him. Then Kofi Coburn happened. Then Kofi Coburn went back to Illinois. And Kentucky still, you know, going all out. And who knows, Jalen Duren could commit here in the next week, 2 weeks, whatever it may be. I guess, how are you following that story from afar right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're still in the running, obviously. It seems like none of the national recruiting guys who follow this stuff so closely have a great feel for where he's going to be. At various times, you've heard, you know, the buzz was with Kentucky, and then it kind of went away when the Coburn stuff came out. Then the buzz was with Memphis for a while. Now the buzz maybe is a little bit with Miami because of, you know, that program's tied to his AAU program. High school coach got hired there.
And then the G League's offering millions, John. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's all out there, and the NIL stuff's going to be a huge part of it. I think the interesting part for me with this Duren thing is going to be what the conversation is afterwards.
Agreed.
Let's say he does go to the G League or he goes to one of the other programs. From a perception standpoint, because everybody got so hyped up about the possibility of adding him or Coburn the last couple of weeks, it's going to be a disappointment. And everybody's all these Kentucky fans are going to be upset. When in reality, if you said a month ago before either of these options really popped up, I don't know that they necessarily need another big man if things play out, but it's clear that both of those guys would have been upgrades over anything they could have. So how Cal spends that, what kind of luster it takes off the new staff, I'm more interested in all that, assuming he doesn't come here. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he does end up picking Kentucky after Peach Jam's over and after he officially reclassifies. But, you know, I don't have any great feel for where he's ultimately going to end up.
That's exactly, I mean, John, it's exactly what we've been talking about around here. It's kind of a nasty magic trick because Kentucky fans were ready to go, right? They were ready to go. And suddenly the Kofi news, the Jalen Duren news, and all of that fallout. And now it's like, yo, someone needs to be picked up. I even think Louisville fans fell into that a little bit with Marcus Carr. I absolutely think they fell into that at a different level than Marcus Carr. If he goes G League, that's one thing. If he goes to, like, Memphis, boy, I tell you what, Memphis would hurt because there's no big-time relationship there. You got the coach and whatever at Miami. There would be shades of Cade Cunningham, James Wiseman with that. I would imagine that would take some of the – but, I mean, if they ever get him, you know what the reaction action there is going to be. It's going to be absolutely ridiculous. Last one for John Hale. What do you believe or not believe in the Kofi Coburn stuff? I don't think we've talked to you about that. That is now over, but that's been the news for the last couple weeks.
I believe that he legitimately was interested in Kentucky, at, you know, in terms of it made an obvious connection there. I do not 100. I don't buy the idea that Kentucky had no interest in him. Which is
right.
Spin. I will say that early on when that first came out, my first takeaway was if they're going to sign him, Orlando and T. Witt and Chin Coleman have to be fully on board with the idea that they have burned that bridge with Brad Underwood forever. I mean, because if you leave the dude's program and then take his best player with you, like you've got to be 100% on board with the idea that you're never using him for a reference. If you know, things don't play out well at Kentucky or Cal leaves or whatever, and you need another job down the line, you've ruined that bridge at that point. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was always an interesting kind of element to this. I'm sure that Illinois made a huge pitch to keep him. I mean, he was more important to Illinois than he was to anybody else.
Right.
So it would make sense that might ultimately be his choice. But, you know, I think that it's as with all of these things, it's never one side or the other. It's somewhere in the middle. And so I think that there was probably mutual interest in him. You know, both sides probably had reasons to you know, look at other directions. I don't think it makes sense to just say that that they were prioritizing Duren over him, because there are so many ifs still in that situation. That would be, you know, I think kind of reckless.
Oh, it's ridiculous. No, it'd be ridiculous. Yeah. It would be like them turning away multiple guards because they're waiting for Marcus Carr that no one knew, you know, that no one thought was coming out of college. By the way, speaking of Chris Beard, how big of a problem is he going to be? Woo! Chris Beard, get it done. Woo!
Yeah, especially if he can you imagine what the reaction is going to be if Devin Askew turns into a good player for him at Texas? That's going to be
he'll be coming off the bench.
The reaction here. So
yeah,
we'll
see. Poor Devin Askew, I think, went from the second guard to the fourth guard there within the last maybe the last couple months or so. John, safe travels getting back, obviously, to the Commonwealth from Alabama. We'll talk with you down the road. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. John Hale with us from the Courier at @John_Hale_CJ if you want to follow him there. You know what we got with Jalen Duren and what I need to have happen? We got a little bit of an old school recruiting thing going on here. We're no one knows. This is great. It's been forever. You know, everyone knows. The Marcus Carr thing wasn't really that fun. He was going to Texas, right?
Gilbert, everyone thought he was going to Kentucky until he wasn't.
Yeah, he was. I think that's going down in lore. But that wasn't one of those that, Jalen Duren could commit, and these analysts have no idea. That didn't happen with Kofi Coburn, right? It didn't happen. We knew a couple days before, whatever it was. It didn't happen. I tried to walk him off the ledge, man. I tried. He didn't do it. So that should be interesting. So let's take a break. 437-9680. We have a 5 o'clock hour coming up next. We have Wheel of Content stuff we did not get to. Kentucky football, SEC media days. We can get that Futech sound again on the Louisville side as well. And we have to get to. We still haven't played the sound. I mean, we gotta play the Gary Cohen sound. We gotta play the Gary Cohen sound. So we'll do that. Another hour to go here on this Tuesday. It's ESPN Louisville.